Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi wahdah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala man la nabiyya ba'dah. Ala man la nabiyya ba'dahu wa la kitaba ba'da kitabihi wa la syari'ata ba'da syari'atihi wa la ummata ba'da ummatihi. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minasyaitanir rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alladhi khalaqal mauta wal hayata liyabluwakum ayyukum ahsanu amala wa huwal azizul ghafur. وقال تعالى كل نفس ذائقة الموت وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أكثروا ذكر هذه من اللذات أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من أبد على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله Respected Honorable Ulama Kiram, Hufaz of the Quran, brothers and elders, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. There are many dimensions to the Hajj and the lessons that we draw from the Hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept those brothers that embark on this journey of Hajj this year. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a share in their reward and accept their du'as on behalf of themselves, their family, and the entire ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As the Shaykh Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya rahimahullah, in Fada'il Hajj, has discussed many dimensions to a haji. And one of them that we draw lesson from is that of the haji and the remembrance of death and mouth. That the person who is embarking on this journey of Hajj, then as he is leaving home, then the family would accompany him, but as far as the airport. And then they would return. And exactly every person that the family will take us, but just till that point where the transfer has to start to the next realm and world, and that is Qabr. So they just take us to the Qabr and they would return. Then just as the mayyit, his clothes are taken out and he is removed and stripped of everything that he wears of this earthly life, his general garments and clothes, and he is wrapped in a few pieces of white cloth. And that haji exactly is that he is wearing those white pieces of cloth, a reminder of one day of my death, that this is my kafan. That irrespective of the brands I can afford and who I am back at home, this is going to be my simple attire when I go and meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this lesson that this person who is going on this journey, he can have $1 million investment in his own country or even abroad and overseas. But when he is going on this journey, then whatever is required for the journey will he carry. Doesn't carry his $1 million, doesn't carry his entire portfolio with him. All he takes is what's required for the journey. He's on an objective. What I need for this journey, he will take. And similar is a mayyit, and a person who is about to leave this earthly life, irrespective of whatever we own. We can be owning a lot, but the day a person passes away, whatever is the requirement of the journey to akhirat, it's what's going to accompany the person. And the wa'amal, that's the only thing that we are going to be taking with us, which is going to be of benefit and help to an assistance to a person when we are leaving this world, going towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is the resemblance. And if we look in these days, by and large, majority of the ummah also have undertaken this ibadah of qurbani, sacrificing an animal for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, there is a lesson. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَعِبَرَةً لِأُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ. There is a lesson of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the end. And that is that animal that is losing its life. Oh insan, you're slaughtering this animal and you are sacrificing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then a time is to come, then your life will also have to be given. But that's an important point for us. There can be a stud animal in the world. Generally, there are auctions. And those animals perhaps will go for R1 million and some for even a few R1 million if it's got a certain breed, bloodline. And millions of rands people will pay for that stud animal. But you take one simple animal. It can be a simple sheep that a person will buy in Durban for 3,000 rand. There is no comparison in rand value. Millions of rands for that stud animal, it's a show animal, it comes with its certificate, or it's graded, or whatever it may be. But that animal which is insignificant, hardly even in weight, 3,000 rand in value, but the value in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and on the scales on the day of Qiyamah will be for the 3,000 rand animal. Why the 3,000 rand animal is losing its life in the name of Allah for the sake of Allah. But this is for recreation, that's for business. Person is buying that stud. Perhaps it's for his business, maybe it's for the farm, or whatever it may be. But that simple animal of 3,000 rand losing its life for the sake of Allah, that's value. So, that we have to start preparing ourselves, that I want to give my life for Allah. I want to sacrifice my life for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimullah said that if you look example in the animals of Qurban, you know, the day before, perhaps the pen is getting, we're preparing the skinning area, sharpening the knives. You know, a person sometimes will talk to that animal. He says, I'm going to slaughter you tomorrow. And the children sometimes will even speak that tomorrow you're going to be cut. So Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimullah says, لَوْ أَنَّ الْبَهَائِمْ تَعْلَمْ مَا تَعْلَمُونَ مِنَ الْمَوْتِ. If only that animal knew what you know about death, if that animal knew the extent that my life is to come to an end, مَا أَكَلَ سَمِينًا, that animal wouldn't have eaten to satiation to build itself in weight. He says, tomorrow I'm going to be slaughtered, why must I eat? But that animal doesn't know tomorrow is slaughtering. So the animal is eating, it's grazing, and whatever is put for that animal, it will eat. Because he doesn't know that tomorrow is slaughter. And if insan doesn't know that tomorrow is slaughter, then tomorrow, today he's merrymaking. If he doesn't know that tomorrow I'm going to be losing my life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he'll enjoy this life. Yes, to the extent of how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made permissible, to the extent of ibadah, we would engage or indulge in this world. But to the extent of permissibility and for the journey to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us and every one of us that tawfiq, that ability, that we prepare ourselves for the life after death. And that's the real life. Surah Mulk, every day we recite, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ, that great supreme being who has created death and life. But we know the procedure of our world is we live and then we die. So there is life, we live, and then that life comes to an end with death. Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala putting الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتِ first and then hayat? Because that life which is ended by death is not called a life. We are not living. We are all dying mortals. We are all living towards that end. The reality for every one of us is that we may feel that I am 10 years old, 35 years old, 55, perhaps I've touched the 90 mark, wherever is my age. But I'm actually getting closer to the qabr. And I don't know how many days are left. When is it going to be that last moment and I'm going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When is that final moment? It's time that we start preparing. Abdurrahman ibn Nu'm, rahimahullah, was a pious person of the time. He had a lot of disciples, murideen, lovers, followers, people would come around. And one person amongst his followers came to him just to understand the routine that he needs to employ for himself in preparation for this final journey. So he comes to his sheikh, he says, Abdul Rahman, O my ustad, if Malakul Maut had to come now and whisper in your ears and say, Abdul Rahman, last 24 hours of your life. You're going to be passing away in 24 hours time. Tomorrow, same time, you're passing away. So he asked him, O Shaykh, O Ustad, can you please pen down and write down for me what would be the final day of your life? What would you read? What would you do in preparation to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allahu Akbar. He turned to his follower and his student. He explains to him and he says, there's nothing to change. Every day is like the last day. There's no routine to change. There's nothing to ask maaf for. There's no person I'm going to knock quickly to say, please make me maaf, I haven't been speaking to you. Excuse me brother, I've got that money, I haven't yet liquidated it. Once it's liquid, you'll get it. My son will pay you out. He says, everything is sorted out. I'm ready to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I need to ask myself, if Malakul Maut had to come and knock on the door, would I say, wait a minute, hold on a sec, is there something to just pass on to someone and I forgot to say I've got qada salah? And I forgot to mention to someone that hajj was fard and I haven't embarked on the journey? Is there something that I need to pay someone and I haven't yet written it down? He says, every day of my life is like the last day of my life. I'm ready to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's nothing to change. So that we need to start preparing for the inevitable. And that's the end point. And that's actually the end of this life, but the beginning of life. So in Surah Mulk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions maut first because we die. And the real life is the life of akhirat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless every one of us with Jannah, Jannatul Firdaus, in the neighborhood of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the preparation starts today. I have to start preparing for my life today. And simple, if you look into the life of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are many du'as in the Mubarak seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the day and night of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that there is a reminder of death. There is that subtle reminder all the time about death. Something, Sulaiman al-Amash was a great muhaddith of his time. He would go, this was also an incident in Tahawi Sharif narrated, about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Sulaiman al-Amash, he would go to relieve himself. The moment he comes out of the toilet, he would go to a nearby wall, rub his hands and make tayammum. And then he will walk to the area of wudu and make wudu. So someone asked him, Sulaiman, ya Imam, Imam Amash, why would you do this? You're making tayammum from that wall. You're coming a few steps and then you're making wudu. He says, أَخَافُ أَيُدْرِكَنِي الْمَوْتِ. I fear what if Malakul Maut intercepts me in between and I'm not in the state of wudu. Because al-mautu jisrun yusilu al-habib ila al-habib. That is not something to be scared about. It's that bridging gap to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only way for me to meet my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have to go through death. This process has to come. But that preparation, I'm worried, what if death has to come and I'm not in the state of wudu? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless every one of us, that as much as possible we stay in the state of wudu. This is our protection from shaitan, the whisperings of shaitan and the effects of shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless every one of us and grant us the tawfiq. Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhu, very often person walks into the masjid, sometimes we receiving the messages about certain person passing away. So he used to always repeat this point and say, "Kulla yawmin yuqalu fihi mata fulanun wa fulan." He says, every day the janaza notice is coming out, so and so passed away, so and so has passed away. And in reading the janaza notice, he would say, "Walakin la budda min yawmin yuqalu fihi mata Umar." The day is to come that people are going to see Umar radiallahu anhu passed away. Today I'm reading someone's janaza notice, tomorrow they're going to read mine. And brothers, graves come in all sizes. It's not for the young, it's not for the old, it's not for the sick, it's also for the healthy. It's for everyone. If we have to walk into the rows of the janaza in the qabrastan, then there is a lesson for us. We'll see different ages, different health, different wealth, but everyone is lying down in the same qabrastan. Irrespective of how much we're going to earn and accumulate and secure and get, the end result is we're still going to be in that grave. We're still going to sit over there. And the people are going to cry. And we would see certain people that they passed away and some went into a depression And some they would cry on for years because he was an important person in the family. But where's all those tears? After some time, it's back to normal. Life has to carry on. We have to move on. We are all on a journey. So am I ready for this final meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And that is so many a lesson that we find in the life of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Bilal radiallahu anhu is in deathbed, about to pass away. And his wife comes, and his wife is lamenting his, and grieving his last final moments. She say, Ya wa huzna. You say, oh Bilal, how sad. She's lamenting how painful it is. You're gonna pass away and you're gonna leave us. So he turns to his wife and he smiles. He says, Wa tarba, ghadan nalqal ahibba Muhammadan wa hizba. He says, how excellent and how nice. Tomorrow I'm going to meet my Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions. That's the best part of it. That yes, it's going to be a bitter one. It's difficult for you to part with me. But for me, I am very happy. I'm going to be meeting Nabi Sam. For how long it has been like this? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the adhan and the muadhin of the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Bilal radiallahu anhu. Bilal radiallahu anhu on one of the occasions on his journeys, then Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they insisted that he gives the adhan. Bilal radiallahu anhu says, how do I give the adhan when the personality who commanded me to give it is not around? So he stopped giving adhan. Sahaba radiallahu anhum were there in that expedition with Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhu, and they said, Umar, please, please, Medina Munawwara hasn't heard. We from Medina Munawwara, we haven't heard this adhan of Sayyiduna Bilal radiallahu anhu. Please request him. Bilal radiallahu anhu, on the demise of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, some historians say that he stayed for a time due to the favor of Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He said, I'll wait. Why? Because you're the one that emancipated me and gave me my freedom, I'll wait. And the moment you pass on, then I don't have any favors to meet. Now I'm going to leave. How do I stay in the city when every wall is reminding of my Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So he left Medina Munawwara. So Sahaba radiallahu anhu met him. Bilal radiallahu anhu started getting ready to give the adhan on the insistence of Umar radiallahu anhu, is insisting he must give the adhan. Bilal radiallahu anhu started giving the adhan. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Just hearing Allahu Akbar from the muadhin of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sahaba radiallahu anhu were reduced to tears. He say, Allahu Akbar. That same voice was echoing in the four walls of Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And now we're hearing it without our Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that reminder of all the time, I'm going to meet Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Am I ready? Am I ready to go and meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu, final moments of his life, he comes to his mother Asma radiallahu anha, and he says, oh my mother, oh my beloved mother, I need to make mashwara with you. So she got upset. He says, Abdullah, what mashwara now? Stand strong, fight for the truth, and give your life to Allah. Nothing to make mashwara about. He says, okay, jazakumullah. Ma, you know, I'm happy with that advice, and I have a mother that is giving me that strength to fight on and become a shaheed. So he continues in the path of Allah, but before he goes, then he hugs his mother. As he's hugging his mother is saying, Abdullah, what's this? What's this I'm feeling? She had lost her eyes in old age. She was approximately 100 and she never lost a tooth from her jaw. And she was in very old age, so she felt it, that she lost this eyesight, but she doesn't know what it is. Abdullah, what's this? So he responds to his mother. He says, Omar, every soldier goes out in the path of Allah, they wear armor. I'm wearing my armor. He says, this is not the clothes of the person that is seeking martyrdom. If you want shahada, take this out and go fight. And my desire is, I want you to become a shaheed. If you don't become a shaheed, then I'm going to be sad about it. Imagine the desire of the mother. This is what we hear from Syria, Afghanistan, in Gaza. The people who are ready to give their lives. Brothers, whether you sit at home, wherever we fortify ourselves, أَيْنَ مَا تَكُونَ يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتِ. You can fortify yourself as much as you want. Have everyone on 24/7 alert. Have 360 live, people know where you are. But when Malakul Maut is going to hunt you down, you're never going to escape. He'll take you with even the smallest of excuses. So Malakul Maut is to take every one of us. But how does a true mu'min supposed to think? this life is going to be taken. I need to prepare myself to give it to Allah. Why Allah must take it? Let me give it and present it. Allah take it. And that is the cry of a shaheed. Allahumma arzukni shahadatan fi sabilik. Umar radiallahu, he made the dua sahaba couldn't understand. He says, Allahumma arzukni shahadatan fi sabilik. Waj'al mawti fi baladi habibik sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh my Allah, grant me shahada in your path. But together with that, he wants to pass away in the city of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So sahaba a little bit confused. He says, shahada and martyrdom is out of the city. You want martyrdom, it is out, but you want it in the city. But because of his sincere desire for martyrdom in the city, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never gave him shahada in the city. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with martyrdom on the musalla of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On the same musalla of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was the desire. Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu, in his closing moments of life, a towering scholar of amongst the sahaba radiallahu anhum, and a sahabi. So the people came around and they said, Salman, why do you tear? You took part in so many battles, side by side with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is no reason for you to cry, to be worried, to be scared about. There is nothing for you to ever be worried about. One person walked in, he said, Salman, you're not supposed to be the person to tear. For Jannah, I heard from the blessed lips of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jannah is desirous of three people. Nabi sallallahu took three people's names. One of them was Salman Farsi. Nabi sallallahu said, that Jannah wants you to come in, Salman. Jannah is waiting for you. So Salman, there's no reason for you to cry. But he tears. And then they're asking him. So Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, he gives the answer and he says, that I am not crying out of fear for death. I'm not crying because I'm going to be leaving anyone in this life. I'm crying because I could not fulfill that pledge with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to me one day and he says, Salman, liyakun balaghu ahadikum kazadi rakib. That your provisions in this world should be like that of a traveler. That's what I lament. That is one thing I just couldn't afford, or I couldn't manage to upkeep that pledge with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Unfortunately, I indulged a little bit more. So the sahaba radiallahu anhu says, why this cry that he indulged a little bit more? They go into his belongings and into his tariqah to see what did he leave. That what was so much of a money. They come and they find 10 dirhams. They find 10 silver coins. He said, I got 10. That's too much. Well, what am I storing for tomorrow? Why do I have so much of money? Yet 10 dirhams, I think so 1,000 rand is too much. 1,000 rand of today's time will be too much for 10 dirhams. He says, I'm going to be meeting Sayyiduna Uthman radiallahu anhu. There was an attack on Sayyiduna Uthman radiallahu anhu. The rebels were coming and they wanted to take the life of Sayyiduna Uthman radiallahu anhu. So they closed the water source. And some sahaba radiallahu anhu came into the palace and they said, O Uthman, we standing guard. Come what may, we not backing down. They would have to penetrate us if they want to kill you. Uthman radiallahu anhu pleaded with the sahaba. He says, I accept the loyalty. Do me a favor. Drop your arms and go back home. I don't need a guard. So they couldn't understand that. Say, even Uthman, why? Let us stand guard. So then Uthman radiallahu anhu, eventually there was a little bit of a skirmish. The sahaba had scattered, etc. And the first person that comes in and he wants to take the life of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu stops him in his place. He says, before, just before, you standing there, I am sitting here. Between you and me is the Quran Sharif. If you want, cross it and come and kill me. So he got scared, he backed off, he went away. The second person came in, so Uthman radiallahu anhu tells him the same thing. He says, listen, between me and you is the Quran Sharif. And we know his final moments was in the recitation of Quran Sharif. And his blood Mubarak went onto the Quran Sharif. So even the second one came, he was determined to take the life. So the wife of Uthman radiallahu anhu turned to this person and say, since you're so determined, let me tell you and hear this kid one rakat, full Quran Sharif even last night. So if you want to draw that blood, you can go for it. So the person came and he took the life of Sayyiduna Uthman radiallahu anhu. But the before that, his wife was asking him, why did you tell the Sahaba go home? Why did you didn't allow them to stand guard? So he explained to his wife and few people around. He says, you know, they stopped this water from coming into the, to this home of mine. Last night I had ziyarat of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallam didn't come alone. He came with Abu Bakr and Umar. Both of them had accompanied Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In this dream, they come and they give me a cup of water. And I'm drinking this water. As I'm drinking the water, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling me, Usman, Usman, drink to your quench yourself. As much as you want, you drink this water. Tomorrow you break in your fast with me. Tomorrow you break in your fast with me. So he told his wife that much of the dream, and he told him, please, I don't want you to guard me, because tomorrow I need to go and meet Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tomorrow's iftar is with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We can talk about Sahaba, we can talk about the pious, and there's so many an incident. Even here in Durban, alhamdulillah, person is in hospital towards the end of his life, absolutely sick, ailing, and the person starts, like we would say, hallucinating, and some people thought maybe it's the medication, and doesn't know what he's saying. So the nurses come around, and non-Muslims also, and they're trying to calm him down. He's talking aloud and he says, okay, you can come in, it's fine. Today is my birthday and I am so happy, it's the best day of my life and I'm going to meet my creator and I'm very happy. So everyone's saying, you're not your birthday, we got your records over here. So he's talking and he says, no, they've come, excuse me, move nurse, they're coming in, let them come in. And he starts talking. He's moving into the next realm, seeing the angels coming to take his soul. And he's talking to them, and he's happy about it. Allahu Akbar. So there are examples of people in Durban even. One person, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, one incident we terminate, as end of his life. So but he was in South Africa, in Stanger. Generally we tell the students Stanger Sharif. So anyway, he was in Stanger, he plays the last year tikaf, then he was moving around, and then he was in India, and he was very sick, but he was a lover of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he's a Shaykhul Hadith, he was the author of many books, and his desire was to pass away in Medina Munawwara, but he's in India. So all the people got around, they say, private plane, let's quickly charter Hazrat, and Hazrat said, wait, hold on, there's no need for anything. Whatever is the arrangements to take me, whenever is the day, I'm going. He said, Hazrat, you're so sick, what if you pass away in India, not in Medina Munawwara? So he says, Befikr. That's the last of your concerns. So the Prophet people never understood what he's saying. That's your last of your concerns. And eventually, there was a few of, one was a doctor that was next to Hazrat Shaykh, and a few other people. So then he was going into consciousness, unconsciousness, and then he told one of the doctors, he says, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came and he said, he's waiting for me in Medina Munawwara, don't worry about it. I had ziyarah, he's waiting for me. So don't worry about the rest of it. But what was it? Love for the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Love for the ahadith, ta'alluq, a relationship with the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. Grant each one of us the best of deaths. Make it easy for the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah.